This is the Ladbrokes Racing Channel. Keep up to date with all the latest racing news and previews at news.ladbrokes.com. And for all the latest odds, head to ladbrokes.com. Online, on mobile, and also on tablet.
Hello and welcome to this Royal Ascot Day 1 preview. My name is William Geldart. Joining me in the studio, I've got Ben Stones as we look ahead to the opening of the meeting. Going set to be good, and we're very much looking forward to it. Let's crack on then, Ben. We're going to look at four races on the first day, starting off with the first, funnily enough. 2:30, the Queen Anne Stakes, 1 mile over the straight mile, that one, Group 1 contest. Let's have a look then, I suppose, the natural place at the first two in the market. Solo, 6 wins on the bounce, his first trip to Blighty. How's he going to get on? An Able Friend, also 6 wins in a row for the Hong Kong Raider. He's the second favourite in this, and we'll get your thoughts on that. Jamie Spencer, interestingly, in the Monday jury in the Racing Post today, has said that even though he's seen how devastating Able Friend can be, he maybe does have reservations about him over this this track and over the straight mile. What do you reckon to that?
I don't know. I think this is perhaps becoming in danger of being overplayed somewhat. I mean, this horse hasn't run on a straight mile, so it's not to say that, you know, he's run on a straight mile before and got found out. It's all speculation, I think. And I think people are trying to find something to get him beat with. And I mean, Richard Hughes has been knocking him as well, saying he's not a fan. And I just think he looks absolutely outstanding on what he's done in Hong Kong. People saying, you know, if this race was run at Sha Tin, he'll be a shoo-in kind of thing. Why can't he be a shoo-in at Ascot? You know, he's had to travel, yes, but other horses have travelled for this meeting and won. Some of the form of his last couple of races has looked absolutely outstanding. You know, he's beat the subsequent International Cup winner, Dan Excel, as well as the QE2 Cup winner, Blazing Speed, basically on the bridle. It's been that impressive. And I think at 2-1, out of the two at the top of the market, he probably looks the better value. And I think it's perhaps being overplayed, the track and the travel for this one.
Yeah, I know you've definitely been of the opinion that you think the favourite can get beat, Solo. Shall we look further on then? Knight of Thunder, I think, is another interesting one. Obviously, back to form with that Lockinge win this season, following last year's successes in 2,000 guineas. He was in front of the rear posing Tormor then and in the QE2 Stakes on Champions Day at this track. Doesn't seem to mind either which way the ground comes. And with all the talk about the top two, do you think James Dawes runners sort of got under the radar somewhat?
Yeah, definitely. I think Knight of Thunder perhaps might be being underestimated. You know, he's raced 3 times over a straight mile. He's finished second once and he's won the other 2 times. So that looks decent. And, you know, he put a real gutsy performance in the Lockinge to keep his head in front. And perhaps, you know, with the course form to his name, you know, he's a 2,000 guineas winner. We can't forget that. He's only really found perhaps the ground when he was second to Charm Spirit in the QE2 and Kingman too good, really, over a mile. So I think he's perhaps underestimated there. But, I mean, the same could perhaps be said for Tormor. He got within a neck of Knight of Thunder in the Lockinge. He's 8-1, Knight of Thunder's 5-1. Richard Hughes seems happy to be on board Tormor of the two, and Connection seemed to have suggested that the horse has come on even further. So, you can't really rule out a lot in this race. I mean, going back to the favourite, we haven't really touched on too much, but, you know, he's done nothing wrong, don't get me wrong. I'm willing to take him on, but there's nothing to say that he can't be a superstar. His victory in Dubai was very taking on the eye. But you just worry. I mean, he beat the Grey Gatsby, who's been disappointing subsequently. And then obviously went on to win at Longchamp very nicely, where Sirius de Zegler's lost half a shoe. So there's been excuses, or there's been perhaps question marks over the horses he's beaten this season, despite how impressive he has beaten them. It's been interesting to see, actually. I was going to suggest when I was doing my research for this race that perhaps he might be better over further. He won at Chantilly over a mile, a race that was a pretty poor race. But Freddie Head has been in the press recently. He said that Solo's a miler who does get further. And, you know, he's a trainer who's done well in this race. Goldakova's won it. She was also second in it. Anadin was third in it a year or two ago. So he does well with it. So, you know, he's probably rightly so near the very top of the market. But I think there's enough in there in the two or three below him to warrant taking him on with.
Yeah, I think with Tormore, he probably would, you know, he would need a career best maybe to pull this one out of the bag. Knight of Thunder I would be keen on. And, you know, like you said, there's not much you can really pick holes in the top two. But we will take on the favourite. Looking for a couple of the other runners in this race. Here comes Wen. I don't know about you, if you're convinced by his claims over a mile. Obviously won over this distance in a Group 2 at Baden-Baden last year. But otherwise, not a lot to write home about. I mean, 7 furlongs seems very much his trip. And the other one I looked at, Cougar Mountain. I mean, from sort of 5-6 furlongs to a miler. What's going on there with Aidan O'Brien's charge?
Yeah, I'm never convinced when trainers sort of chopping and changing the trips of a horse. And to be honest, I think both Cougar Mountain and Here Comes Wen, they're a step below top class. It's not exactly a bold statement to make, I know, but I think they're both going to be found out here and put in their place. I mean, Here Comes Wen's been progressive enough. But yeah, they both need a massive, massive step forward to threaten here.
All right, I think that's all we got for the Queen Anne. Let's move on to the King's Stand at 3:40 then, over 5 furlongs. Again, a Group 1 contest to look forward to. I love this race. I know sprinters, not everyone's cup of tea, but you know, this has potential to throw up some incredible storylines, not least the favourite Soul Power. No horse won this race 3 times, let alone 3 times in a row. You know, we've got some great names in here. He is undoubtedly one of them, but is he short enough at 7-2 and worth taking on? Obviously beaten over 6 furlongs at the Curragh last time out, but yeah, I think we can forgive him that, cut him a bit of slack. Winner at Maidan in the winter, and obviously simply sublime last summer.
Yeah, I think all the racing fans would love to see Soul Power win here. As you say, you can write off that run in the Greenland Stakes last time over 6 furlongs. It's not his trip. I don't think he's ever won over that trip. And he also got boxed in as well. So you can put a line through that trip, back at 5 furlongs, a course that he's got some rock-solid form in. He deserves to be favourite, I think. But, I mean, he's a horse that things need to go right for, as we've seen in the past, you know, not just the Greenlands in the Abbey last year. The gaps just didn't open, and it's happened many times before. With his style of running, he comes with a lot of risks. He's also got 3 horses directly below him in the market who he's never faced before. So there's question marks and there's sort of unknown quantities coming to challenge him. But I mean, there's everything in his favour. 5 furlongs with decent ground. He should run a massive race. He deserves to be favourite. But as you say, these sprint races can bring up some great storylines, and they're also so unpredictable, you know. I think he deserves to be favourite. We'd all like to see him win, but he's probably worth taking on at 7-2.
Yeah, as you mentioned, so many variables in these sprint contests, and one who may exploit some of those. Mutmir, it's Group 2 winner in France last time out over the minimum trip, beating a few of the re-opposing rivals. Still only around the 4-1 mark. Do you think that's where the value lies, or are we looking even bigger?
Not for me. I mean, he's a real progressive type. He looks like he's going to, you know, become one of a top class sprinter. That win at Chantilly was his first run and his first win over the bare 5 furlongs. And he can be slow away, which could be an issue. You know, if he misses the break, that could be it. If he's out the back, he could struggle cutting through the pack again. You know, he stepped up to group company well enough the last 2 runs from handicaps. But I would worry that whether he would be following in his sire's footsteps, Invincible Spirit, of being better over 6 furlongs than he is over 5. I think there's probably horses hit in this race like Soul Power and like a couple of others that we'll come on to in a minute that are more suited to a 5 furlong speed fest. But yeah, he'll be a top class horse, but whether it's for this race, I'm not so sure.
All right, well, let's look further down the list. Shamal Wynn, Robert Smurden's Aussie Raider. Going to have Ryan Moore in the saddle, which has got to be a major positive.
Yeah, of course. There's no one riding better than Ryan Moore at the moment. And do you think most owners, given the choice, that he'd be the first man they go to? Shamal Wynn's won nicely last 2 runs in Australia. But some of those horses have been well beaten next time out. So you'd have to question that form. But the Australians got a decent record in this race. They've won it a couple of times in the last 9 years with Miss Andretti and Scenic Blast. So, you know, the Aussies have done well when they've come over with their challenges. And with Ryan Moore in the saddle at 7-1, you can't write it off. But like Muthmir, I would struggle to see him winning. I mean, I think there's horses here that are a better price that are perhaps more likely to get their name on the score sheet. in this race.
All right, well, let's write another one off. Mecca's Angel. 1-5 his last six, but this is another test entirely.
Yeah, exactly. He's been very progressive in his last few runs. He beat Pearl Secret at Longchamp, which is a decent benchmark, but I worry whether the rest of that form is strong enough. He'd also probably be better with a bit of cut in the ground. But, you know, he's a horse that could be coming on and being prepared for stepping up into top-class company on the biggest stage. And at 7-1, there's plenty of worse options about over the whole course of the day. But again, I think there's better value elsewhere.
Which leads us neatly into our next runner, David O'Mara's G-Force. My idea, and I think yours as well, of a great each-way bet. As you know, I'm a trends man. Mecca's Angel and G-Force, they are both four-year-olds, which means, you know, they don't fit the trend that horses aged five and older have won eight of the last 10 renewals and filled the places 12 times. But I've got other things as well. So G-Force, I mean, he never got out when last in the Champions Stakes sprint last year, but he did have that Sprint Cup win at Haydock. One last trend, seven of the last nine winners were drawn in stalls 7-14. G-Force is in seven. Does he have the out-and-out speed over five furlongs? We will see.
Yeah, I think the five furlong trip will bring out the best in this horse. You can write off his last couple of runs. Last time out at Haydock, it was such a messy race. He was nearly brought down and his chance was gone sort of two, three furlongs out. Race before that, Ascot on Champions Day, six furlongs on heavy ground. He was never in it. He was clearly not enjoying it. And he didn't have the best of runs anyway. He got boxed in as well. But looking back further than that, you know, in the Nunthorpe, he was only a length and a half behind Soul Power. And again, he sort of ran into a little bit of trouble there. He's still only a four-year-old, so he's still got plenty of improvement to do. And I think with conditions to suit, at 14-1, he's a brilliant each-way bet in a race, as we say, that can throw up some surprises in the past. But yeah, as you say, he's had nothing go right for him recently. And if he gets going today, or tomorrow, we should say, he'll be bang there.
All right, well, let's hope so for our sakes. Rangali next on my list then. Obviously, a little bit behind some of the best in this contest. And I fear this may be a bit of a theme in the other runners we take a look at. Seventh behind Soul Power in last year's Nunthorpe. 10th Chantilly in the race that Whitmere won that I mentioned earlier. Plenty of guts, but maybe one that's just a little outclassed.
Potentially, but I think he's about the 20-1 mark. I think there's plenty worse value. He's never really run badly over five furlongs on good ground before, never really travelling behind Muthmere at Chantilly. As you say, he was seventh behind Soul Power in the Nunthorpe, but he was only two lengths back, so he wasn't beaten a long way, and he only went down, I think he went down a head or a nose in the Abbey at Longchamp. So he's got some decent form in the book, and if it's on a going day, he's not the most easy to win. He's not the easiest to win with, so that might struggle. But for each way bets, I think at 20-1, he could run a decent race and be a decent bit of value.
Okay, let's look at a few others then. Pearl Secret, winner of the recent Temple Stakes at Haydock. Beverly Bullet, winner last year as well. Third in this renewal in 2013. Maybe I'm going to be a bit cruel again, but maybe against the very best, found out a little.
Yeah, I agree. Everything fell right in the Temple Stakes, as we've discussed, with G-Force and others being inconvenienced. Let's say he ran third in this race 2 years ago. So when he's on a going day, he can put in a decent performance. But I feel he's too inconsistent, and also he pulled very hard in this race last year, which sort of blew all his chances. So I think he's one that's too inconsistent for me to take a chance with, and I'll be giving him a swerve.
All right, another one. He may be swerved. Hot Streak, sixth and four lengths behind Pearl Secret in that Temple Stakes renewal, but did win that race the year before. I am probably sounding a bit like a broken record as we wrap up the King's Stand. Maybe a little exposed in this type of company, although on those trends, fairly well drawn.
Yeah, even though he is fairly well drawn, again, he probably fits into a similar bracket with Pearl Secret. He's not the most consistent, but on a going day, you can put in a massive performance. Yeah, again, he's one that could run well, but he's not the one to put the faith in when the chips are down.
Okay, let's maybe have one final line on this one there. Jack Dexter, he's had a fair few chances, behind obviously both the Power Soul and Slade and the Kingstan and Diamond Jubilee, respectively last year. Second in the Temple Stakes. That was obviously 5 furlongs, but most recently, apart from that, had been sort of campaigned over 6 furlongs.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the ones that met trouble in the Temple Stakes, but he stayed on really well at the end, maybe highlighting that the 6 furlongs is probably his trip now. But he's had a bit of a revival in recent months. Last 2 or 3 runs, he's run pretty well. But as you say, he's probably a shade off top class now, and he probably wants a bit of cut in the ground. So conditions won't be right up his street. You expect him to run well, but probably a mid-division finish is probably what lies in store for Jack Dexter.
Okay, let's move on then to the feature race of the day, the 420 St. James's Palace Stakes over 1 mile, Group 1 contest. And your favourite, short and half, Glen Eagles, the English and Irish 2000 Guineas winner. He is the obvious class act in the field. The one Aidan O'Brien is looking towards, spring up his magnificent 7 in this renewal. But does anything beat him?
It's hard to see something beating him, isn't it? You say he's short enough, but he went off 2-5 for the Irish Guineas. So he's in a race with 5 other horses, one of which he's already beaten, one that's only raced twice and won a listed race, and a couple that look well below the top class. But I mean, this is a race for favourites, really. We've had eight of the last ten favourites have obliged, the likes of Frankel, Dawn Approach, and Kingman. Proving pretty useful types to take this race. O'Brien's won six of these races. And the thing is, at the Curragh, you know, nothing really went right for the horse. The ground sort of went against him. He wants it rattling hard. So you think with even better ground at Ascot, he looks a good thing. And it's hard to see anything beating him, though. At 1-2, he's probably not a working man's price.
No, well, you know, at the Royal Meeting, we do expect a good procession, and this could turn out to be another one after the Queen's made her way down. Right, let's have a look at some of those rivals then. Make believe the Poule d'Essai de Poulain winner in front of subsequent Prix du Jockey Club winner New Bay. First crack at a mile, he did have it a bit his own way, but he got the job done.
Yeah, as you say, he had it all his own way, dictated the pace. But yeah, he put it to bed really nicely. And connections have been in the Racing Post this week saying that he doesn't need to go from the front, but with only 6 near, he might have to. You know, that form has been franked, the French Guineas win with New Bay coming out and winning so nicely. It'll be interesting to see how the race pans out. It might turn into a tactical affair, but the French haven't got a great record in this race. Only 2 of their last 8 runners have made the frame. But you'd expect him to be the quality act to finish, or to at least challenge Glen Eagles. At 7-2, whether there's any value there, I'm not sure. But, you know, he's obviously got the quality there to be able to win a French Guineas. But he's not for me, I don't think.
Okay, consort then, Sir Michael Stout's charge, Frankie Dettori on board. Winner of the Heron Stakes at Sandown on his reappearance, but not really sure what we can take from that victory.
Yeah, the form doesn't look great from that race. A couple of horses that he beat, Secret Brief was beaten a similar distance in another listed race next time out. White Lake, who finished not far behind Consort, was smashed by Cool Company in the Craven Stakes. So with all due respect to Cool Company, that's not the most solid of form when you're looking to take on Glen Eagles. Consort did beat Mutahij on debut. That horse obviously went on to win the UAA Derby and run well behind American Pharaoh. Once a season, so he's got that in his bag. You know, he's done everything he's been asked to, but he's got to step it forward a lot here. And I think at 11-2, he's very short in comparison to the likes of Bilardo, who I expect we'll come on to next, won't we?
Yeah, we will indeed. Bilardo, he's still in there, although Connections had their reservations about his participation. Yeah, Bilardo might be the one of interest. 4th in the Irish 2000 Guineas. He was 8th in the Greenham before that, but Connections had written off that run.
Yeah, he probably wants a bit of a downpour before the race. But, I mean, he was 4th in the Irish Guineas, and Connections said that he didn't particularly have the run of the race. He had to come around the whole field that time to stay on nicely for 4th. the ground's probably gone against him again. He wants a bit more cut. But as I say, he's nearly five times the price of Consort, who's run twice and won a listed race. You know, Bilardo was a top 2-year-old last year. So I think there's plenty of juice in that price. Obviously, I can't see him reversing the form with Gleneagles. But he could be the one that chases him home, I feel.
Okay. Shall we go for the last two? Actabanate, long time off the track, 254 days, in fact. Such a long layoff, having last been seen finishing 6 out of 9 in a Group 1 in Italy. Yeah, what chance? And then Lathanac, half-decent juvenile, but beaten favourite last time out. This will be his first crack at a mile. Was beaten by Lexington Times on debut, actually, who's subsequently sort of been shown wanting a bit at the highest level.
Yeah, they're two that are probably going to be found out for quality. Actabanate, I think he won the Group 3 at Sandown last year as a 2-year-old. Obviously, that's not... It's solid enough, but when you're looking to challenge the likes of a dual 2000 Guineas winner first time out of the season, it doesn't look the most likely of occurrences. And Lathanac, you know, he's run well in his own right, but as you say, Lexington Times, he's a good horse, but he's not a great horse. And, you know, you'd see both of these probably labouring out the back somewhat.
All right.
Actabanate,
sorry. I don't know why I couldn't say that. All right, let's move on to the final one then, just to wrap up the 5 o'clock Ascot Stakes. A real slog, this one, over 2 mile 4. Very interesting handicap to try and unpick, though, and we'll start with the favourite, Fun Mac. Comes back into form, winning very easily at Salisbury last time out. Carrying a bit of weight, hasn't been a hindrance to recent winners, actually. Each of the last three have carried 9, 7 or more. So Fun Mac could be the winner.
He could be. This race looks tough to pick the winner. But yeah, Fun Mac, he was a very, very taken winner at Salisbury last time out. He won it easily, but he's gone up £14 in the weights for that. So he's been hit hard by the handicapper. He's not one that will be affected by the ground. So he's got that in his positive column. He hasn't run further than 1 mile 6 either, but he's by Scirocco, who's sired the likes of, you know, Brown Panther and Wild Coco, some real decent stayers. So he's bred to appreciate a step up in trip. I think this race is very competitive. He's 6-1, which is probably a fair price, but you know, there's probably bigger price horses that have got just as much chance. But yeah, he deserves to be up there at the top of the market. Whether the weight takes its toll, we'll tell, I guess.
We'll see. Ray Ward is an interesting one as a stayer. 5th in the Queen's Vase 2013, 6th in this last year. Form over longer distances is pretty good. 2nd in the Goodwood Stakes as well last summer, behind Ian Williams, Teak, who's proven to be pretty handy in these types of contests.
Yeah, he's one that we no doubts about is staying, about stamina, sorry. So he will be staying in this race. He was, I would say, 6th in this race, off £3 lower, but he didn't really have much luck in running that time out. So expecting to run well again. His run last time out at Newmarket was very taken. It was over a mile shorter. It was over a mile and a half. It was clearly just a tune-up for this race. He was sort of pushed along quite a long way out, but he really stayed on eye-catchingly. So he is one that will be staying on towards the end of this race, and he could be a nice price, about the 6-7-1 mark in comparison to Fun Mac, maybe. But I mean, he's one that warrants being at the top of the market. As you say, he's got form over track and trip. So he's a strong contender.
Yeah, certainly a lot of claims for Ray Ward. Clondor Warrior next on my list. Very interesting one for Willie Mullins. Been doing some decent work over hurdles recently. 3rd in a Grade B event last time out at Punchestown. Winner at last year's Galway Festival as well, I think. And in a 1 mile 7 contest at Leopardstown last autumn. It's easy enough to see why he's one of the market leaders. Or is it?
Yeah, it is. You know, Willie Mullins is 3 from 9 with his flat runners at Ascot in the last 5 years. It's not a bad strike rate, I suppose. Yeah, this horse, he won the Irish November handicap in November. He's £3 higher today, so he's not gone up much in the weights. Sorry, He did flop in the Irish Zarowicz when well fancied, though, but you'd have to worry about that. But he's generally consistent on the flat. He's run some decent races over hurdles over the winter. He was seventh in the Ladbroke. He was third in the Greatwood Hurdle. So he looks rock solid at the top of the market. I know I'm saying this about all the top horses, but it really is a tough race to pick one out, and he should go well.
All right, well, we'll move away from rock solid to maybe slightly shaky. Statutory is another one I had a look at briefly. Winner over 2 mile 1 at Pontefract last time out. Didn't beat a lot that day, it has to be said. But a return to form is a return to form. Over a fair distance as well, and James Dorn in the saddle. Maybe slight place claims.
Not for me. it's going to be the first one I would put a line through out of the ones we discussed, I think. Yeah, you say he won that race at Pontefract. I think he's won that race the last two seasons. Finished off the last two seasons by taking that race. That was over 2 mile 2, so he's got plenty of stamina there. But I just think this is a big ask first time out. He was well beaten in the Queen Alexandra Stakes, and I feel he's probably too high in the handicap to threaten here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, actually. Run a line through that one then, maybe. We'll see. Broxbourne, Nicky Henderson runner. Nicky Henderson's four wins. This runner, actually, has got four wins from 14 starts on turf on the flat. He did take a caning in the Cesarewitch trial and then in the race itself. But last summer, he did win a fairly decent staying handicap at Goodwood, and he has won at this track before.
Yeah, he won the Goodwood Stakes in 2013 off a mark of 84. He goes off 90 here, so there might be room for improvement there. He was improving over hurdles when he was last seen, but you'd have to worry. Those last two runs on the flat were poor. So he needs to have pulled out the bag to go well here, I feel. But, you know, he's got the course form in the book as well, so he's got some positives. But you just want to see a bit of revival on the level for this one to threaten. Although Nicky Henderson does do well sometimes with these staying horses on the flat.
All right, great stuff. Well, after that marathon slog from us, let's wind it up then with the best bet. And I've got a feeling yours may be in the King's Stand, so I'm going to have to hastily look elsewhere.
Yeah, well, just a quick mention for one more in the Ascot Stakes. For Warren Greatrex, Boat. He's 12-1 shot. He looked a potential improver over hurdles. He finished the winter campaign behind listed winner Different Gravy. He ran well back on the flat. He weakened really markedly in the final furlong at Goodwood, though. But he finished lame, so he's got excuses there. If he's back to his best, of which he was only beaten 3 lengths by Leading Light in the Queen's Vase a couple of years ago, so that form looks solid. If he's back to anything near that, at 12-1, he should run a big race in the Ascot Stakes. But you're right. My best bet for the first day at Ascot has got to be G-Force. I just think he's a quality each way price at about 14-1 mark in a race that should be well suited to him. He's, as you say, with your trends, he's got the draw. I think the trip and the track and the ground will all be in his favour, and he can put behind him those two runs really didn't go his way, and I think he's a great bet.
All right, dream draw for G-Force then in the King's Stand, and sorry for forgetting about Boat in the Ascot Stakes as well. For my best bet then, I will go to the Ascot Stakes, and I will side with Ray Ward, second favourite in that. As you mentioned, I think, you know, he looks a decent stayer. He's proven over these kind of trips and should go well again. I think that neatly rounds it off, so thanks very much to you, Ben. And for new Ladbrokes customers tomorrow and even today, you can get 5-1 on Gleneagles to win the St James's Palace Stakes, so get stuck into that one. And don't forget, for all the latest odds and specials throughout the week, head to ladbrokes.com, online, on mobile and on tablet.